First John chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. And we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The title of this message, Living as an Overcomer. Now, this section of John's letter is describing a world that has succumbed to deception. And I do believe that is the world that we are living in today. It is a world that has succumbed to deception. To be deceived is the act of believing in a lie rather than believing the truth. That is deception. I've discovered that deception actually falls into at least two very broad categories. I'll describe the first category. First of all, it's material or physical deception. Now, let me just bring it back to something that most of us have done in the past, and most of us have purchased a car, either a used car or a new car at some point in the past. And usually when we purchase a car, we do so based upon certain features or something about that vehicle that we've studied, we've researched, and we've decided, well, this is the car that I want to buy. And so we go to the car lot and we look at the sticker and we talk to the salesman. And in this day and age, maybe your focus is on fuel economy. With gas at $4 or $5 per gallon, you say, man, I need a car that makes, you know, at least 35 miles per gallon or better. And so you go and you purchase your car, and the salesman says, yes, 35 miles per gallon. The window sticker says yes. The manufacturer says yes, it'll make 35 miles per gallon. Now you get your car. You're so happy with your purchase. You drive it off the lot. But then you begin to drive that car throughout the week. And suddenly you discover that that car does not perform as advertised. And you feel, man, I've been taken. This is nothing like what I was expecting. This thing isn't making anywhere near 35 miles per gallon. And you go online and you realize, you know, I'm not the only one to be deceived by this. Many people have been deceived with this same vehicle and this same advertising. And you feel like there's deception. And most of you have probably purchased something. If not a car, there's been something you have made a purchase based upon advertising, and you realized it was deception. And here in the state of Texas, they actually have laws to protect you against that. The Deceptive Trade Practices Act is there because this is so prevalent. It's such a problem. We have to have laws to protect ourselves. Deception. Physical deception. But the Bible actually describes another form of deception. It is deception that is not really visible to the human eye. It's not visible in the sense that as you go out and you make a purchase, it takes place, in fact, in the invisible realm, a realm that is not visible to the human eye. That invisible realm. In fact, the Bible refers to this as the spirit, the realm of the spirit, or the spiritual realm. And John here in this letter, in this part of the letter, he's describing a world that is deceived at a level that isn't visible to the human eye. The deception. It's so complete that the deceiver has convinced the world that there is no spiritual realm, and as such, people have no idea they're living in deception. And that's very much like the world we're living in today. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he pointed out that people who are living in the world without a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, he said they have no concept. They're blind to the spiritual realm. Paul refers to this person. He says that's the natural man. They were born physically, but they've never been born spiritually. Physical birth, but no spiritual birth. The spiritually dead person doesn't understand spiritual things, according to the Apostle Paul. And writing to the Corinthians, Paul said, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I'm going to read it in a different translation. The people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. A natural man, the natural person, has never received the Spirit of God. And when you speak to them about spiritual things, they think, man, you are really gullible. I can't believe that you believe something like that. I mean, that's so foolish sounding. They'll go to a movie and they'll glorify the blood and the guts of violence, and they love it. But if you talk to them about the blood of Jesus Christ, oh, man, that's horrible. All that blood in the Bible and all that kind of stuff, oh, it's foolishness to them. And you know what it's like, some of you. You remember what it was like before you came to Jesus Christ, and somebody said, hey, come to church with us. And so you actually went to church and you heard a message, and maybe it just seemed crazy to you. You said, man, I don't believe that. That's foolish. And then something happened. It's like when you did decide and you made that decision to come to Jesus Christ and you opened up your life to him, something happened, and all of a sudden it's like a light coming on, and the things that were foolish, the things that you never understood, suddenly they become very real to you, and you understand and you say, oh, I can't believe I missed it. The Spirit of God. That's the work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, working within you to give you understanding. That both the deception and the new understanding of truth takes place in that invisible realm of the Spirit. And John is writing about those who now understand the things that once seemed foolish. And he refers to those people as overcomers. To overcome, it means to have victory. To overcome, it means to win. It's the opposite of defeat. People live in the world and they live in a state of blindness. They live in this state of deception, and as such, they live a defeated life in this world. But I will tell you, God did not create you to live in defeat. God did not create you to live with blindness, with spiritual blindness. God created you as a being who would desire him and who would worship him, and he created you with a place right inside whereby you recognize you want to worship, but your spiritual eyes must be open into that spiritual realm. Because the Word of God says God is spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now here's the problem that we deal with. You're here this morning. You have made that decision. You have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You believe those fundamental truths that we all share in Christ. But the problem is, the overcomer is still capable of falling into deception, falling back into deception. You are not immune from deception just because you came to Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean suddenly Satan says, okay, now you're gone, I've lost you. Maybe he loses you to eternal damnation, but he still wants your life. He still wants you to be defeated. He still wants you to live as one who does not have the victory, as an overcomer. Even Jesus was approached by Satan. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, before he went out into ministry, out in the wilderness, he was approached by Satan. And can you believe that Satan would have the audacity to try to deceive the Son of God? But he did. And I'll tell you, if he won't leave Jesus alone, he won't leave you alone as a follower of Jesus. He will never leave us alone. As long as you are living, breathing, and walking on this earth, he will try to defeat you. And Jesus, that attempt at deception, the title of this message, Living as an Overcomer. Though through Jesus we are overcomers, how is it that we live in this world, this world that is filled with deception, and keep from falling into deception? Let's look at the principles. Actually, I went through this and I realized I only have time to cover the very first one this morning. I came up with four different principles here in this passage. When I got to the end of the first one, I said, that's enough. We can stop with that one today. And that first principle, and listen carefully, that John's going to describe for us is the principle of awareness. Awareness. To be aware, it means to have a certain level of knowledge about something. You must be aware of the deception and the deceptions that are lurking within the spiritual realm. But as Christians, so many have closed their mind, they've closed their eyes to the spiritual realm, and they act as though it does not even exist. And I will tell you, the deceiver loves that. He wants you to live and he wants you to think that, wow, there's no problem. There's no real spiritual realm. And John identifies it right here, very first verse. He says this, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Now, I'm going to just ask you about this passage for one moment. Who do you know that has ever read this passage to you? Ever. I'm just talking about the common, what people call Christian today, those who are out there that are going to church just like you are here. Who has ever read this to you and warned you and said, test the spirits? You know why people don't want to say that? Oh, that sounds so mysterious. It sounds mystic. The spirits. Test the spirits. Yet John writes about it. And he said, listen, beloved, my beloved children, and he's saying this in love because he loves these people and he's concerned about them. And just as I get concerned about you, and I could say, beloved, those whom I love in Christ, be on guard because there is a spiritual realm. And it's so subtle, it is so deceptive that you don't even know that that's what's getting at you. the spiritual realm. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. John is saying that your awareness of what is taking place in that spiritual realm, they go so far as that you actually need to put it to the test. Test the spirits. The spirits are those beings who are invisible to the human eye, but are just as real as what can be seen. You say, hey, you know, I don't believe in all that spirit stuff. Someone says, you know, have you ever seen one? You say, well, have you ever seen the germs on your iPhone? Oh, yeah, I can see that with a microscope. And so I can look, and yeah, so biologically I can see germs. I say, but you know, when you physically, when you pick up your iPhone, if you could see all the germs that were on there, probably you'd carry a can of Lysol around. Pfft. You know, you'd spray your phone down every time you go to pick it up. Germs all over the phone. You wouldn't want to touch a door handle if you could see them all. But they're there. But that same principle applies to the spiritual realm. You say, I've never seen it. I can't see what's taking place. And yet it is. And very likely you may have participated in battle in the spiritual realm even this morning to get here, and you didn't even know it. An invisible battle. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The Spirit of God, that's something else you don't see. It's not just in the evil realm, in the realm of evil. Did you see the Spirit enter you when you came to Christ and you said yes to Jesus? Did you see something physically? No. Did you experience something? Yes. And maybe it wasn't something immediate. But through your walk as a believer, you know that there is a change that has taken place in your life, and that is the work of the Spirit of God inside of you. You, though you cannot see, you see the results. But did you know that those same results on the opposite end of the spectrum in the spiritual realm, the deception, it is taking place all over the world today, even right now. People being deceived. One of the ways that people are deceived is by other people who have a message that is false. They're very cunning, very convincing, very believable. They motivate you to believe their message. And John is referring in this text this morning, he's taking you here and he's saying, listen, he's saying, these deceivers, they're called false prophets. God did create us to worship him. But since the fall of humanity, the same deceiver that used a false message on Eve to deceive, it's been at work, it's been spreading. It's been expanding, and it's through the false prophets. You may not call them false prophets. You may not recognize them as false prophets, but they are individuals. They are people with a message that is not the truth. And so John writes, he said, you know, you have to test it. You got to put it to the test. Test the spirits. They must be of God. You've got to know that they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And when John wrote this, you take that and you put that message on steroids for today. You and I, we could never count the false messages that are out in the world today to deceive. The awareness here that John is saying, you need to be aware. And you need to live as an overcomer. And the way you live in this world as an overcomer without being defeated is to be aware that there are false prophets. There are false messages. There is a deceiver. He does want to bring you down. He does want to destroy you. He does want to hinder your walk and your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's his goal. The awareness. All the major false religions, the cults in the world, they have, you know, they all have somebody at the head. There's always a person. Somebody started that movement. People listened to the message. They believed the message. And they get caught up in this false system of belief. I think it's probably safe to say, and I'd ask you, don't most of you know somebody that you're aware of that's been caught up in a false religious system, a false teaching, a false doctrine? Do most of you know someone? Some of you maybe even came out of one. What's crazy about that to me is when you talk to them, they are just as convinced that they are right about what they believe as you're convinced about what you believe. That's how total the deception is. It's not like they're sitting on the fence, like, I don't really know if I believe that or not. It's like, oh, no, this is the truth. I know it. I'm certain of it. Let's think about what you believe just for a moment. This is something we all share in common. We all believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. We all believe that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, a miraculous birth. Amen. We all believe that Jesus lived on this earth in human form, in flesh. Amen. We all believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins to pay the penalty that we deserved. Amen. We all believe that Jesus was physically resurrected from the dead in bodily form. Amen. And we all believe that he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Now let's look at the confusing message of Mormonism. That's just one. The Mormons teach that, yes, there was a Jesus. There was a physical Jesus. And you say, well, it seems like they checked that one off so far. They believe that he was a good man. They checked that off so far. They believe that he is a God, but not one with the God, the Father. They believe that there was a resurrection, yes. But they don't believe that he always existed. They don't believe that he was always there. He was a spiritual baby, once just like us. And he just became so good, so morally perfect, that he could have a God and an earth of his own. And you see how they twist it? What about the Jehovah's Witness? They have their version of Jesus. Their version is that Jesus is a created angel and he's a little God. Well, yes, he came in the flesh, but he's a little God. And not the same as the God. Other religions, they do not deny Jesus, but they teach that their Jesus or their version of Jesus was just a man. He was a good man, good teacher. He came in the flesh. And you say, well, all three of those, they say he came in the flesh. But what was his substance when he came in the flesh? Well, he's a little God. There's a spiritual baby that became good. He's a good man, good teacher. The awareness that we are to have is that the false teachers, they are empowered by false spirits, by demonic entities, and the purpose is always the same. It is always deception, and they will take the truth and they will twist it into something that becomes very believable, and millions of people around the world follow those false teachers, those men who propagate a false Jesus. And someone comes to you and they say, you know, I want you to read this little book because, you know, this is the truth and I want you to read this. This has really helped me to understand what truth really is. I didn't know it. I used to go to church just like you. But I didn't understand truth until I got a hold of this little book. And they'll give it to you because they want you to read it too. The Bible says, John is saying here, he's saying, you know, whatever you come across out there in the world, whatever is given to you, whatever you see, whatever you hear, he said, you got to put it to the test. And this is so important. This is why it is crucial that we know the Word of God and that we found our lives on the Bible, the Word of God, because we know within the Bible there is truth. When Satan did come to deceive Jesus, Jesus, the Son of God, he used the Word of God. And he rebuked the devil and he affirmed the truth. And that is how we test the spirits to know the truth. We filter it through the Word of God. One of the truths that must be affirmed, and John is writing about this, is that Jesus came in the flesh. Now, when John writes about the flesh, he is not referring to just any person who attains some moral perfection as the Mormons teach. He doesn't mean in the flesh as in Jesus being this little angel walking around on the earth, or this little God. In the flesh doesn't mean any person who claims to be Jesus, as so many have. What John is referring to is Jesus being God, the eternal God, in the flesh. And that is what the Bible affirms. The angel said, his name shall be called what? Emmanuel. What does it mean? It's God with us. Paul writes that Jesus is the image of what? The invisible God. God, invisible form. The reality of who Jesus is, that is central to, if you go back, you look at John's gospel, that and this letter is really, it's a continuation of that essential truth of the nature of Jesus that John expounds upon in the gospel of John. He wrote this. Let's look at it together. John 1, 1. You probably know this by heart, don't you? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He who was in the beginning with God, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Attributing creation to the Word. Nothing was made without him. He didn't come along after the fact. He wasn't one of the created. He was the creator. One with the Creator. He was the Word. Always has been. And then you look down at verse 14. What does it say? And the Word became flesh. And he dwelt. He lived among us. And we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word is God. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And this is the distinction. This is what sets him apart from every cult, every religion which teaches, yes, they may have their version of Jesus, but it isn't this. And this is what the deceiver is after. He does not want you to glorify Jesus in his true nature. He does not mind if you glorify Jesus as something less than what he is. He doesn't want you to know Jesus in his true form. And so that's why we go back to John's letter, and he said, by this you know the Spirit of God. What does it say next? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And so you see the definition of flesh now. You see what he means by that? It's just not any old flesh. He describes it. You go back to his gospel, and there it is. It's the Word. The flesh is the Word which became flesh and dwelt among us. And then he goes on to say, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of what? Antichrist. And you and I think, oh, Antichrist. Man, we always think of Antichrist end times, right? No, Antichrist is right now. And has been. He's been around a long time. And it says right here, John says, you know, that's the spirit of Antichrist. Doesn't mean it's the man. It's the same spirit. The spirit of deception. The Antichrist is a deceiver. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's the spirit of deception. And he says, what you have heard was coming. And otherwise, yeah, he's coming in human form. But he's saying, you know, in spirit, this Antichrist is already out there in the world. And that's what you got to be careful of. Antichrist means against Christ. And that is part of the awareness that you and I, we must live. If we are going to live in this world and we're going to live as overcomers, we must recognize that there is the spirit of Antichrist that is all around us. Everywhere you look. The spirit of Antichrist. And we are to be aware. And I will tell you, it is not just aware, but we must beware. We have to be on guard. You think, well, I've been a Christian for so long. Man, you're not ever going to shake me. Hey, listen. We all have to be aware. We all have to be on guard. We are living in a particularly dangerous time in human history. It used to be that the message of the false prophets could only be spread through word of mouth, and that message did not travel very fast. That wasn't very long ago. I know none of you can remember back to 1895. But 1895, that's when the wireless telegraph, that was the technology of that day, that you could send a message without using word of mouth. Yes, it was coded. Morse code. Now, how many of you know what I just said? I don't either. And then in the 1920s, the radio became the new means of broadcasting. And with the advent of the radio, it came the ability to spread a message to everyone, and all you had to do is have a radio receiver. But even then, it wasn't so easy, because in order to spread the message, you had to have a means of transmission. So it was still somewhat limited. Then it was in 1927. Now we're getting around to some of you. You may remember 1927. I don't see anybody raising their hand, so let's move on. But in 1927, that first television set was successfully demonstrated in San Francisco. You could hear the message, and you could see the messenger. And imagine before television, when, you know, what it was like, and suddenly you have this box that you can set up in your living room, and you hear and you can see. That's big. But you had to be able to afford one. And even in the 1960s, we couldn't. We didn't have a television till later. And I know you know where I'm going next, right? Is the computer. And then it was the internet. Do you remember what life was like before the internet? Some of you don't, because you weren't alive before the internet, possibly, but the internet. But even then, even with the internet, it was still somewhat limited because you had to be able to afford a computer, and not everybody could. And so it was still somewhat limited, that message going out. I'll tell you, you know what I think when the real shift came is with this. When everybody had a computer in their hand and you carry it around everywhere you go and you're in constant communication with others and with the world constantly with this computer. But then something else, even more than that, how many of you remember life before Google? I remember hearing Google. I remember hearing that word and thinking, what in the heck is a Google? I thought it was Google. What's a Google? Somebody said, no, it's Google. Oh, Google. Oh, Google. Yeah. Google. What's Google? Didn't know. I didn't even understand when they described what it was. I thought, why would anybody need that? Why do you need Google? And so we have the device, and then suddenly everybody is communicating with each other. There's text messaging, there's email, and that's cool. But then you got Facebook. And then you got Instagram. And then you got TikTok. And then you got YouTube. And then you've got the almighty Twitter. And now everyone has a platform to both send and receive a message. And by the way, I'm not against technology. I have one right here. My resume is all about technology. I understand it. And what I'm about to say and what you're going to hear is not because I'm old-fashioned. But along with this technology came the means to spread a message quickly, easily. We've all seen how germs spread. We've all seen what a pandemic is. We all see, but have you ever heard of a viral message? Somebody can send out a message and it can go viral. It's sent from person A to B and to C to, and it just goes viral. And suddenly, within minutes, millions of people have the message. And that's technology. It can be used for good. And I'm thankful that the gospel is going out over technology. But I will tell you, the message of the false deceivers and it's dwarfed those of the good. It's dwarfed the gospel. And most of you know somebody who was brought up in a church just like this. You brought your children up. You raised them. You taught them out of the Word of God. And somewhere along the way, they got on this technology and they heard a different message and they no longer follow the truth. It's a message they never would have otherwise heard. But it was so easy just to get online. And that's why this message we're talking about today is so important, so vital, to understand that the spirits that John is writing about in this spiritual, this invisible realm, you think it's the billion dollar, you think it's you know, Bezos or whoever, or you can go down the list of names of all the, you know, technology pioneers, and you think it's them, and you don't understand that within the spiritual realm, it's being used in a very different way. And that there is a certain amount of control over technology that is taking place within the spiritual realm, and I'm going to tell you, it is planned. It's real. And you must be aware of it and be on guard, because you may have a child that succumbs to a false teaching simply by going. They don't have to leave their home. They don't have to turn on a radio. It's just right in front of them. Whatever you read, whatever you hear, whatever you see, where there is some new message, where there is some new word, where there is some new whatever, you must take it back to this word of God. David said, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path." In other words, it is this word that is to guide us, that is to lead us, that is to help us to have discernment. We test the spirits with it. We must bring everything unto bear unto this word. You must. That's what John is saying. And I'm going to just say one more thing about this. And I'm not picking on you if you brought your phone as a Bible today. Many people do. And it's nice that we have YouVersion and different things on the phone. But I got to tell you, this phone is no replacement for this. That is one of the deceptions too. And I'll tell you why. It's very simple. You see, people can easily say, my iPhone is the lamp unto my feet. And they walk around like this. How many of you see that? Everywhere you go. You go into a restaurant. What do you see? You see people in the mall. What do you see? You see people falling over a cliff. What do you see? People are living and dying by this. Literally. But the problem is this. This is a distraction. And because it's a spiritual realm we're talking about, the enemy knows how to distract you with this. And when you begin to use this as your primary source of God's word, I'm going to tell you, that's the time that you're going to get a text message, you're going to get anything that's going to flash in front of your face that is going to distract you that would not be there. When you have this, it's enough problem just going, you know what I'm talking about. You get into the Word of God and there's already distractions, but you multiply that infinitely times. I mean, it's crazy. As I'm talking about this, there's a text message coming through and it's like, what? Who? I don't even recognize that area code. Because your number is on some spam list or whatever, or maybe a political message or whatever it might be, and it's going to take you away from the truth of God's word. And that's taking place in the spiritual realm. You don't even realize it. And so do not substitute this word of God in physical form, the Bible, for technology. Now, I love technology, I'll say that, I do. I'm not denying it. But I've become very wary, very leery, very on guard. Because I've seen at least one of my children who we raised with everything that you could possibly put into a child. We would not even let them watch Toy Story. Truth. No Toy Story. But they got onto this. And they got into a message that was not true. And they were taken in and they were listening to what everybody else was saying about it. And to this day, they're deceived. That is heartbreaking. As a mother, as a father,
As a grandparent, you've raised your children, and you realize that through a false message, they become deceived. And so this is the warning to us today. John's writing. He said, "My beloved, I love you. Just like you and I, we love our children." And he said, "I love you as a church body, as the body of Christ. I love you." And he said, "Be careful. Test the spirits. You've got to know." You don't want to be deceived. The end of deception for some is damnation, an eternal consequence. For others, it's a confused existence as a Christian. Not sure exactly what you believe. You have a belief, but you get confused. And Satan, if he can't have your soul, he sure wants your mind. And he will send a deceptive message. And so we have to beware. We have to be careful. And that's the message for today from John. There's three other points, three other principles that we're going to look at. And I think they're just as important. They will not get the time that this one did. But yet they're vital to living in this world as an overcomer. And you want to live as an overcomer, don't you? Don't we all? We don't want to fall to this stuff. We want to live. God has given us everything we need. It's amazing to me that with all the technology and all the infinite amount of information, it can all be dealt with this one book, the Word of God. God in three persons. The very wonderful, beautiful message that the enemy wants to destroy. May it live in your heart. May you walk and may you go through this week. And may you have the awareness that we've spoken of, that there is a deceiver out there. And I will tell you, if nothing else, may this message get you praying more and more for your children and for the people you love that are more vulnerable than you are. You walk in His Word. May you passionately declare, "This Word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path, and I'm going to live by it." In Jesus' name, amen.